Today we have a special report for you on the Czech Republic's presidency of the Council of the European Union, which starts on the 1st of January. Later on, we'll look at what lies in store for the Czech government as it seeks to influence the EU agenda in the coming months. But first, we'll hear from ordinary Czechs whom we spoke to on the streets of Prague and ask what they made of the Czech EU presidency.
I don't know what it does mean for us or for our government, but I know that we will have such position. I think it's more as a position of the negotiator within the European Union. So I think it could help us to be more visible within European Union.
I think it's going to be useful in terms that we can somehow be involved in decision-making and we will have some, let's say, more authorities to make some decisions. But on the other hand, I think that anyway, the policy is so tight that there is not much to do. Generally, maybe they can make a better lobbying, for example, yeah.
I guess that I know quite a lot about because there is a lot of commercials going in our TV and radio, so I think that I do have a lot of information, but that's probably all what is important usually for us. We don't see any big advantage to be the leader of the European countries for half a year. Who will be ruled? The European community are the big countries, not us. We can support some decisions and do maybe some small pieces for the future, but I don't think it might influence our future as a country. I don't think so. I don't see any big advantages. It's just a part of the European movement and I don't think it will influence us in any way. It's just more interesting than important for us.
I don't know nothing about it. Sorry.
We'll be kind of chairman of the EU, but what else? We know that if something is happening like in Israel, the crisis, then we are the ones who are hurt. Who speaks for the EU, but for the regular things that are going to be discussed, I don't know nothing about.
And now it's going to happen, but I don't know how it's going to affect anyone here. Probably not a lot.
The presidency of the EU is a good chance for a country to promote itself within Europe, you know, especially if they do a good job of hosting it. Are you confident in your political class that they will do a good job?
Not at all. Not at all.
I just hope they're going to keep a low profile because if there is any fuck up that not the whole world doesn't know about it. I'm not too confident in our representatives.
If the opinions of the people I talked to in Prague this week are anything to go by, quite a number of Czechs seem to think that their country's presidency of the European Union will perhaps raise the country's profile a little bit, but will not have much influence on EU affairs. Petr Mach is an economist with the Centre for Economics and Politics, a Prague-based Eurosceptic think tank. He also doesn't attach much importance to the Czech EU presidency.
Well, I think that each country can have this desire to influence European Union policies, but I think that this is more important for big countries like France or Germany, and there, as big countries, are able to really influence the European Union policies rather than the smaller countries like the Czech Republic. Furthermore, the Czech Republic has no global ambitions. The Czech Republic is not a European power. It's rather a modest, small country, so we have no desire to impose our own views or visions on others. So we will hold this presidency, we will host the summits, and we will try to express some of our views, but we have not this ambition to influence direction of the EU, and I think that it's not possible.
On the other hand, the academic Ivo Slosarczyk from the Europeum Institute for European Policy believes that the Czech Republic's presidency of the EU Council will have some bearing on the future direction of the European Union.
I would use the metaphor that Czech Republic will definitely not give the new shape to the EU affairs, but we quite like to believe we will at least leave a Czech fingerprint on the EU business. Of course, many issues are simply going and their time scope is not 6 months, but 2-3 years. We will not change the direction somehow significantly. But we can leave the Czech fingerprint on many areas. For instance, areas where we feel we are quite comfortable or confident. If you, for instance, just compare the motto of the French presidency, which was calling for Save Europe, while Czech major motto is Europe without barriers. So you see that some differences exist there, and Czech Republic will stress some other tones in the harmony of EU. We are slightly adjusting the tones, not the whole orchestra.
Petr Mach, however, thinks the Czech government's desire to use its presidency to promote a Europe without barriers does not have much substance, especially in terms of relaxing restrictions on the free movement of people and services.
The official motto of the Czech presidency is Europe without barriers, but it's only symbolic because there are still our neighbors, Austria and Germany, and they insist that they will keep the restrictions until 2011. So there will be no free movement of labor between the Czech Republic and Germany until 2011. And the Czech presidency can do nothing with that, because this was negotiated in our accession treaties, and Germany has right to keep these restrictions until 2011. So there is no power for presidency or for the EU as such to drop these restrictions. So it's only symbolic, and there can be no European decision or something like that that could remove these restrictions.
The Czech Deputy Prime Minister for European Affairs, Marek Mora, is one of the people involved in preparing the Czech Republic for its presidency of the European Union. He maintains that the official Czech motto for its time in the EU cockpit will have a powerful resonance, especially in view of the fact that the Czech Republic is only the second EU newcomer after Slovenia to preside over the Union, and the first country from the former Soviet bloc to do so.
Europe without barriers has two important connotations. The first one is historical or political, if you want. It should remind us the fifth anniversary of the biggest EU enlargement, which we will celebrate next year, the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Iron Curtain back in 1989. Everyone would agree that very important barriers fell 5 years ago, 20 years ago. So these are the historical and political connotations. Then there are, of course, economic connotations, and I think they are important maybe now even more than we thought, because certainly with the upcoming economic crisis, popular and political demand for protectionism will rise, and I think, and the Czech government believes, that it will be very important to show the medium and long-term visions, which means free trade, external trade of the EU, enhancing internal markets. So not having barriers is the only way out of the crisis, not the protectionism.
Petr Mach is suspicious of this optimistic view of what the Czech Republic can achieve in terms of promoting greater free trade, especially when the global economy has just experienced a sharp downturn.
I think that generally the Czech Republic is more in favor of free trade than, for instance, France. But I'm afraid that these days, when we are experiencing this global financial turmoil, unfortunately, the trends will be more protectionism over the world. Because if, for instance, the American government gives subsidies to its automobile industry, then the European governments will want to subsidize their automobile industries as well. Otherwise, they would definitely impose some new trade barriers. So I am skeptical regarding the prospects of free trade around the world. And I think that the financial crisis is a pretext for some governments to impose more protectionist policies, and I am afraid that the Czech Republic itself is not able to do anything with that.
Naturally, Marek Mora disagrees. He says that the country will be ready to push the EU agenda forward in a number of key areas.
We have prepared our program very carefully. We know what our priorities are. They are now communicated like three E's: economy, energy, and Europe in the world. This is something which we partly inherited, but partly also determined ourselves.
So what does Mora think the Czech Republic can achieve in the three priority areas it has identified for its presidency?
As for the main priorities, economy is clear. Free trade I just mentioned, but also, you know, to combat economic crisis, to do all the follow-up work on the European Economic Recovery Plan, which was published by the Commission and now agreed by the European Council in December. So this is one part, enhancing, as I mentioned already, the internal market, fighting for the four freedoms, free movement of services and persons. This is something which has not been completed yet.
ensuring the EU's energy needs has also been identified as a key area. This has become a pressing issue in recent years. The European Union's growing dependence on Russia for oil and gas has been a major concern for some time now, especially as supplies could potentially be switched off by Moscow for diplomatic leverage should relations sour between the EU and its most powerful eastern neighbour. Marek Mora again.
Energy, also very clear, energy security is something very important. Both EU internal energy grid, etc., etc., but also the external energy relations, energy diversification, the routes by which we get our energy sources, very important in Europe. And I think everyone agrees, especially now in these times, that this is one of the key issues for Europe.
As regards the remaining priority area for the Czech presidency, Europe in the world, Marek Mora says the country will adopt a three-pronged approach to the EU's foreign relations.
Europe in the world, or EU in the world, there we have several smaller priorities. Transatlantic relations, very important. The EU presidency will be the first one to start to negotiate with the new US-American administration of President Obama. Second, Eastern Partnership, something which has been decided already by the European Council, and there should be a launching summit, actually, by EU 27 plus 5 or 6 countries, depending how things develop in Belarus. So this is the second field. And the third one is Western Balkan, continuation of the enlargement process or creating conditions that Balkan countries get closer to the EU.
The shadow of Russia will loom largely over the Czech Republic's desire to focus on securing energy supplies, as well as on its attempts to promote links with third countries on the European Union's eastern borders, which Moscow regards as its traditional sphere of influence. Given its historical experience of dealing with Russia, Ivo Schlosarczyk says the Czech Republic is actually in a good position to help plot a course for the EU's increasingly delicate relations with Moscow.
Of course, eastern dimension of the EU foreign policy is not Russia only. And I think Czech Republic will primarily focus on not so much on Russia, but on other countries of the region, the Caucasian states, the Ukraine, Belarus, etc. However, the new member states, not only Czech Republic, but all new member states of Central Eastern Europe, could bring something new in the EU-Russian relations, EU-Eastern dimension of EU policy. So it's something what we can do. We are, of course, not the major power players. We understand our dependency on, for instance, Russian energy supplies. But we, I think, can present very good balance of realistic and idealistic politics and policies towards the East. So this not being naive is, I think, very, very important. Having our experience from the communist period, but also having our experience as the insider of the European Union. So if we are able to combine these two experiences to really formulate not naive policy towards the East, then I think we delivered and we did our job of presidency very well.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international section of Czech radio. Today we're broadcasting a special extended report on the Czech Republic's presidency of the Council of the European Union, which starts on the 1st of January. Something the Czech Republic will have to deal with is the fact that it is one of only two countries yet to ratify the Lisbon Treaty, which is supposedly the blueprint for ensuring that increasingly large and unwieldy EU structures can be streamlined and made more effective. Ivo Schlosarczyk agrees that the Czech Republic's failure to approve this document before it takes over the EU presidency puts it in an awkward position.
Yes, it's complication, because Czech Republic, as a presiding state, should have a significant leading role in solving the issue and the future of Lisbon Treaty. And if we want to be in this kind of cockpit or chair of the EU negotiation process, which doesn't include only formal negotiations, but also political debates, then, of course, we must be neutral, or have at least an impression of being neutral, which, of course, is harder to achieve when we are on the kind of extreme of European ratification process, being one or two countries in the EU which has not ratified yet.
This complication could be exacerbated further by the fact that the Czech head of state, Václav Klaus, has denounced the Lisbon Treaty. On a recent official visit to Ireland, the only other country yet to ratify the document, he enraged the Irish government by holding a much-publicised meeting with anti-treaty activists. As the Czech Republic is expected to be a major communication channel between the European Council and Ireland with regard to the Irish ratification issue, it should ideally be seen as neutral, which makes Václav Klaus's anti-Lisbon stance a tad problematic. Ivo Schlossarczyk, however, believes the importance of Václav Klaus's views on this issue have been overplayed, especially by foreign media.
In Czech system, it's the prime minister who is the center of the executive power, including foreign relations. And the government supports the approval of the treaty in the both chambers of Czech parliament, but in February. For domestic political reasons, they were not happy of having early debate, so they postponed it to the February. But regarding Lisbon Treaty, regarding intensive involvement in the integration process, the government, the prime minister and his government are in favor. This will be spread again, again, again. Czech president is not the dominant actor in Czech foreign policy.
As the first former Eastern Bloc country to take over the presidency of the EU, it is likely that the country's performance will be monitored with some curiosity by older European Union states. Former head of the Czech Senate's Foreign Affairs Committee, Josef Jajab, believes his country can use the presidency to show how far the country and Europe have come less than two decades after the collapse of the Iron Curtain in 1989.
We should and will concentrate on bringing Europe together from, that means the Eastern Bloc, the Soviet Bloc, you know, and the Freer Bloc. And I think in this sense, I don't think that we could be missed. Even if people only come here and, you know, see what the Czech Republic is like, how the people sort of behave, what is on the agenda, how well is it prepared, etc. For many people, this will be a surprise. It's not that we want to impress them, but that they should realize that this is one part of Europe that has been sort of shut out, you know, for 50 years, but is back and has survived not so badly, after all, has survived quite nicely, despite all the decades, you know, where progress and civilization, etc., was really sort of suppressed. This should be also appreciated, and I think reasonable people will.
Petr Mach, however, is dismissive of any notion that the Czech Republic's first stint at the helm of the European Union has any historical importance.
There is no such symbolism in it. We are members of the EU since May 2004, so there have been, how many, maybe six presidencies before the Czech Republic's, including Slovenia, and there will be presidency of Sweden and Poland and other countries after the Czech presidency. So I think that there is no such symbolism. The main step among the Western democracies after the fall of communism was opening up borders, gaining visa-free movement of people with all Western European countries and signing trade agreements with European communities. So entering the EU was much less important than integrating into NATO and signing trade agreements with the European communities after the fall of communism. And now Czech presidency is, in comparison with these previous steps, almost irrelevant.
Ivo Schlossarczyk agrees with the idea that the Czech Republic's time at the head of the EU is historically significant, but says that it should not be overemphasized.
The symbolic element of it is, of course, important. On the other hand, I quite like to understand this Czech presidency as business as usual, because if we are a standard member state, well, Czech presidency should be as standard as possible. So that's the combination. Internally, of course, it's a very symbolic thing. A kind of kindergarten period of Czech EU membership is over. We are in the full adult membership. We are having to take all responsibility of the running EU business. However, as we like to think of ourselves as a normal, standard EU country, we must interpret the Czech presidency as business as usual.
Despite the Czech Republic's ambitious agenda for its presidency, it is quite likely that the country will have to adapt the program it has developed to deal with unexpected events that might crop up while it presides over the EU. The current crisis in Gaza is a case in point. Marek Mora says there are also a number of other external factors that could pose a challenge to the Czech Republic during its time at the head of the European Council of Ministers.
Look, we will have our presidency in very difficult times. In any case, we will have the times of economic crisis, which could turn out to be also social crisis, rising unemployment, etc. We will have also the end of the European Parliament, which means not only that the legislative period will have to be shortened, but also we will have elections, European elections, European election, but you know, there will be political campaign everywhere in Europe, including the Czech Republic. The third part of this is that the commission will be before its end. Some of the commissioners will look for new jobs and they will maybe start, you know, jumping off from the commission and all that could be destabilized. So in that sense, I think if we play our role correctly and say the right words in the right moment, I think it would be already enough.
Ivo Slavčík agrees that, even if the Czech Republic does not achieve all its objectives for its time in charge of the European Council, simply ensuring that it manages its organisational duties without any major hitches should be enough for the Czech EU presidency to be deemed a success.
Managing these several thousands of meetings, making business go, adopting some norms and solving some crises, we hope of smaller scale, not the big ones, which emerged during Czech presidency, I think it's good performance. It's for first-timer like Czech Republic, it's quite a good performance. And I think even after this, there should be some reasonable applause. So I think it would be okay.
Ivo Slavčík, ending our special report on the Czech presidency of the Council of the European Union, which starts on the 1st of January.